and we host Geek in the Streets,
a podcast where we share knowledge with each other on different geek and nerd topics. So join us for the conversation.
Starting now. Welcome to Geek in the Streets. I'm Ian.
And I'm Arielle.
And this is a podcast for the geek and the nerd subjects you love as if it is finally 2024 and it's a Tuesday, not a Monday, which we planned for. Hope you were okay with that.
Yeah, we wanted to take a little break over New Year's and New Year's Eve and also give you a little time to heal.
Right. And you may notice that normally we have a disclaimer about how Arielle's voice sounds funny because she was under the weather at some point. This time, I'm the one with that honorable distinction. Yes, you notice my nose sounds stuffily. Sounds stuffy. I don't know what I was trying to say. Stuffily?
Snuffleupagus. But it should be noted that I didn't get you sick.
Okay, sure.
It should. I want that officially on the record.
Let's put it on the record.
Okay.
And it should also be noted that nobody believes me when I get sick. And it took some extreme measures for them to believe it.
Anywho, so welcome to 2024. We're still trucking on and geek in the streets. Same season. We kind of, usually it's like we kind of ended at the, you know, we're on the different season by now. But same season, still trucking. And we are going to talk about Loki season two today.
Now, for those of you that did not listen to our previous Loki episode, we quite enjoyed the first series. And we enjoy the character, the Norse god of mischief, in both his, you know, historical form as well as his Marvel form. And I think his Marvel form is probably our favorite, right?
Right. And we did really get into the history of Loki and Norse mythology in our old Loki podcast. So if you didn't listen to that one, check it out because it was one of my favorite ones, I think.
Yes. And this one's going to be a little bit different than that one.
Right. I was thinking, should we do what like all the other podcasts do and like redo their favorite ones? Because like we have some really good ones that are buried in there, like Daredevil, especially since Daredevil's coming back. I almost feel like we should resurface
Like Stuff You Should Know does selects where they like tag on a little intro and then they say, we liked this one. Yeah, we should totally do that.
Yeah, because like, especially with, you know, Daredevil, what's it called? Reborn? Coming back, you know, that was one of our best episodes in my opinion.
And nobody listened to it.
And it was like episode 5, so it's buried down in there.
And then also Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah, we also have to watch the new Godzilla show. By the way, we should disclaimer, we are so behind on everything right now. It's been a crazy holiday season for us at Geek in the Streets. So we are really behind. That's why this Loki podcast is coming out so late. We're behind and we're trying to catch up so that we can get you more content. That's why we're kind of digging out other things. You know, we did the Christmas songs. We're trying to catch up for you guys. I mean, really, that's my main factor. I made Ian, you know, we kind of binged Harley Quinn season 4. We binged Loki. We're trying to catch back up so we can have good content for y'all.
Right.
In that vein, if you have any things you would suggest that we watch or binge to talk about, send us a message at Geek in the Streets Podcast on X and on Instagram. And then we have an email, geekinthestreetspodcast@gmail.com. So, you know, if you're looking for some new content in the new year, let us know.
Or if you're like, you know what, you guys don't have to be 100% current all the time. I'd love to hear you talk about Kevin Eastman's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. We could always do an episode on that, too.
You are more than welcome to write an episode on that if you would like.
Done and done.
All right, so let's get into Loki Season 2.
Let's do it.
So Loki Season 2, obviously a Disney Plus show, a Marvel, an MCU show on Disney Plus, was released October 5th, 2023, came out weekly, and it was 6 episodes total, so a pretty short season, almost like a mini series. So same cast as previously, you know, we have Tom Hiddleston as Loki. We have Owen Wilson as Mobius, the whole crew, everyone's back. But we did
And Jonathan Majors, we should say, because he was only at the end of the last one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, came back as more screen time in this one.
Right. We're also going to avoid that
with a 10-foot pole
drama today.
Yep.
Don't feel like starting the new year with drama. And then Sylvie, played by Sophia De Martino, also back in a different capabilities, but most of the people are back. And then we do get Kei Hui Kwan as Obi or Ouroboros.
Ouroboros,
which is fun. That's a dragon that's eating its own tail.
Just put marbles in your mouth and say something.
That's the way you usually talk, isn't it? It's kind of a circle that never ends, or like a dragon eating its own tail is one of the mythologies around it. Anyways, he's there. He's also known as Short Rib in
Short Round.
I always say Short Rib to make you mad. In Indiana Jones. He's had a big resurgence, and I'm happy for him. He's a good guy, he seems like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, same cast with some other people, but he was the biggest addition, in my opinion.
So, for a more detailed look at the cast, go listen to our original Loki episode.
Yeah, yeah, definitely go listen to that. So, brief plot of this one is basically, you know, Loki and Sylvie, mainly Sylvie, killed He Who Remains, which is a variant of
Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah. I don't know why I just blanked on his name. And so they killed him. And so then time is kind of like deconstructing because of that. Everything's falling apart.
The sacred timeline
at the TVA. And so it kind of gets reset, and Loki's kind of trying to, you know, get back in there and fix things.
But he himself is experiencing living in multiple timelines as well.
Like jumping.
Against his will, he's teleporting between timelines, and he's trying to figure out what's going on and why he's doing that.
Well, it was interesting because the end of last season, you know, Loki pops up, and it's a Mobius who doesn't know him, and you're like, oh, crap, the whole everything's been erased, but really it's not. He's kind of jumping between that timeline and the timeline that he was on, the main one, and going back and forth actually in time in that one,
yeah,
like in the past and in the future. And then Sylvie's kind of gone off and done her own thing. She's working at McDonald's for a lot of product placement there. They did run like a special at McDonald's.
Yeah.
It was Loki takeover, and he had like special sauces. I didn't get it, which I should have.
Well, this podcast has particular feelings on McDonald's Corporation.
What is it?
We love it.
Oh, but okay, McDonald's. Yeah. You used their tagline. No, so I will say I used to like not eat McDonald's at all. I used to not eat fast food, and then Ian kind of got me into it.
Back it up here.
I like, you know.
Not eat fast food.
Okay, not
you
McDonald's.
You ate fast food more than I did, but no, McDonald's specifically.
I didn't eat McDonald's. And now I eat McDonald's a lot.
Chick-fil-A counts as fast food. Yes.
I guess. Anywho. So he took they did a little product placement there, and it was like McDonald's from the 80s, which I was like hardcore product placement.
Yeah.
Almost to a distracting level. And then they actually go back to, what is his name? Victor Timely?
Yes. And 1893?
Yeah. And that's another Kang variant. And they are at the Chicago World Fair, right?
Which we've spoken about our love of Devil in the White City, if anyone's read that book.
Have we talked about that on the podcast?
I think I've mentioned it on the podcast.
Why would that have come up in the podcast?
It came up on one of
maybe
our podcasts.
Maybe the Walt Disney one or the Disney one?
That was it, yeah.
I don't remember that. But yeah, so they go back to the Chicago World Fair. So they're kind of going back and forth and back and forth and trying to fix the sacred timeline.
Yes.
Is that a fair, like...
That's a fair assessment.
Summary, should I say more?
No, I think that's pretty good. And, like, we can get to how they resolve it in the end.
Yeah, and
stuff.
We will probably give a couple spoilers, so...
Now is your time. We're about, 10 minutes in or so. Spoiler alert, if you have not seen Loki Season 2, pause this podcast, go watch the whole thing, and then come right back to this point.
Well, how about this? We'll give you a break to pause in.
Do-dee-doo-doo. Oh, wait, we'll do it with the real music. Okay, bye. The Geek in the Streets podcast is supported by the Geek in the Streets podcast.
And listeners like you.
Well, not yet. And we are back. Hopefully you have caught up on all of your Loki Season 2 hijinks. What did you think of that one time when they did that thing? Oh, we're going to discuss it, aren't we?
Yeah. All right. So let's break down our thoughts and feelings. So if everyone remembers correctly, we liked Loki Season 1. I think I liked it a little bit more than you did because you weren't crazy about the ending.
The finale I didn't love.
Yeah, because you didn't like He Who Remains.
Yes.
And you felt like it was a little lackluster in the ending, correct?
Right. And I thought it was a little fast in the ending, a little bit lackluster compared to what the rest of the show was. And I can be quoted, I think, saying on the last one, I did not appreciate the acting choice of making He Who Remains basically Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I think over time, though, I started to recognize what the actor was doing with his very different portrayals of Kang and his variations and stuff. And so I've softened up on that view.
Right. So Season 2, how did you feel about Season 2?
If I was going to give a general feeling, it's one of those things that the actors and the characters they were portraying, I thought did a really good job. So Tom Hiddleston, great Loki, you know.
Owen Wilson,
great Mobius. Underutilized, though, I will say, in this season.
Yeah, I could have used more Mobius.
Kehi Kwan doing a great job there, you know, adding in, him in as this kind of wide-eyed optimist, but at the same time, very direct character. You know, Sophie was doing her thing, which was disruption and
chaos.
Yeah. And, you know, so you had all these elements of great stuff. But I will say, overall, I don't feel like the story was there to tell as much this season. I felt like they had a strong idea of what they wanted to do in season one. And in season two, from a storytelling perspective, it felt weaker. And it was like, okay, how do we get 6 episodes out of telling a movie's worth of story?
Right. Yeah, it could have been a movie.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, though. You mentioned the acting. I think the main people were great, like Owen Wilson, Kehi Kwan, Tom Hiddleston, and I actually did think that Jonathan Majors did well in this role, but again, not getting into that today. But a lot of the side characters don't really do it for me. Like, there are, this is one of those shows where I'm not like, oh, everyone's really good. I'm like, wow, that person can't act. Tara Strong as Miss Minutes was really good. I forgot to mention that she was Miss Minutes. You know, she's a really prolific voice actor. She was Tommy in Rugrats, she's in the Powerpuff Girls, a lot of things. I felt like a lot of the side characters were, like, not great. I didn't even really like Ravina, almost said Ravenclaw. What's her last name?
You just threw it out of my brain by saying Ravenclaw.
Ravina, whatever her name is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Renslayer.
Yeah, that's it. Not Ravenclaw.
You shouldn't have said Ravenclaw. That messed me up for a while.
I said Rowena instead of Ravina. Anyways, yeah. I felt like a lot of the side people were not good.
And, you know, I'm going to go back to the narrative for a second. I felt like they were playing episodes, because in the first season, you would have an episode around this kind of quirky idea, or they had to go to this particular timeline or this particular location, and it would organically tie into where it would go in the end of the episode, which would dovetail into the next episode. Mm-hmm. And in this season, it really felt like to me, okay, we got to keep the quirkiness of Loki season one. So we're going to throw them in this weird scenario.
Like, having that guy be an actor made no sense.
Yeah.
But
they wanted it to be, like, quirky, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, they'd go, okay, well, we need to further the plot, so here's this battle that's going to happen or something. And it always felt like the ending of the episodes was the only thing you needed to see.
Yeah.
And all the quirky lead up to it was just filler. Complete filler. And they'd be like, oh, let's have Mobius talk to people in his jet ski store and stuff like that. And then by the end of the episode, you'd be like, oh, they're trying to unravel this time thing. And you're like, those didn't need to go together.
Right. It did feel like it could have been like a short movie, like, say, the length of Werewolf by Night or something like that.
Yeah.
It did not have enough story to tell. It did not hold my attention very well. I wouldn't say I, like, disliked it. Like, it's not the worst Marvel show I've seen. But I didn't like it, and I didn't feel like it did justice, and it didn't really add anything to anyone's storyline. Like, do I feel like it made Loki's storyline better? No. Whereas I do feel that, like, the first season did.
And there's something to be said about, you know, the amount of, you know, weight that they put on the unraveling of the timeline. If you think of, like, the unraveling of a timeline as a concept, how much mileage can you get out of something that abstract, you know? And so, obviously, they did a bunch of scenes where they would have, you know, someone go try to the actual timeline to try to do something, and something bad would happen. And it happened a few times. Like, they had an episode that was like Groundhog Day, where that was literally the whole episode. But I'm talking about before that, you know, when, like, Loki thinks he destroys the timeline and all that. I feel like those kinds of things, you have a very limited capability to play with. And I think Marvel needs to understand that from a movie perspective, too, with the multiverse, is after a while, things that abstract tend to get boring.
Right.
So, well, relying on that as the driving force for the entire season and not bringing it as personal as they could have gone, I think was a mistake.
Well, I think one thing that they're kind of making a mistake on, too, in my opinion, is they're trying to do so many things that they'll make something really heavy. And then if you think about it in the grand scheme of the whole MCU, you're like, well, then what else really matters? Like, if Loki's sitting here holding on to, you know, time and trying to fix time, why does it matter if, you know, Echo's fighting Kingpin in the streets? Like, you know, it's just like they're, or like how we talked about how they overpowered Gaia or whatever her name was. Like, they're doing too much and it's kind of diluting everything.
It starts to feel like, that they're not playing in the same sandbox.
Yeah.
That, like you said, if you're watching Secret Invasion and Gaia's got all the superpowers of everybody, you're like, well, if she comes over, like you said, into Echo, she could pop over there for 2 seconds. And and then you have Loki again playing with the timeline where, like, he could sneeze and change the entire universe.
Right.
You know, it starts to feel like things are getting so disparate. And at the same time, we're being told that, no, this is all going to come together for Secret Wars. And I'm like, if this is what your idea of what Secret Wars is going to be, it's going to be terrible. Like, well, the comic.
Think of the Infinity Saga, right? It was just this big crescendo to Avengers Endgame, right? It just led up steady and every point fell into place. You could argue that they stepped off a little bit with Captain Marvel because they did, you know, kind of overpower her, right? I mean, that's what everyone's saying. But they kind of reined that back in by not making her the main focus for Infinity War and Endgame. But this is just so, like, all over the place. I do think they should kind of... they're kind of like herding cats right now. I'd like them just to, like, all get on the same page and kind of redirect into one big idea would be what I would do with the MCU right now.
And again, I actually think the concept of Infinity Gauntlet, which is, like, you know, this MacGuffin that can do anything, right, is more compelling than a multiverse, which is, like, anything can happen, but it happens on different universes. So you always have that parachute you can pull that, like, oh, something bad happens here, so you can hop over to the next universe where it didn't happen. You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're starting to feel, not just in Marvel, but in other places, multiverse fatigue. I never, ever have thought, from a narrative perspective, that multiverses are anything but fun. Once you go beyond that and you try to make it super serious and, like, the linchpin of your storytelling, it just starts to lose weight.
I think it just doesn't work as well in the film media either compared to, like, comics or, like, you know, written media. Like, it gets a little bogged down, in my opinion.
Right. There's something to be said about printed media that it takes time to read and you can go back and revisit it. You can read it out of order. You can look at your favorite picture if it's a comic. If it's a book, you can kind of flip to a page and see if something is. So the fact that it kind of exists in the time that you make for it as you're reading it makes the idea of a multiverse work better. Whereas you're saying if it's being spoon-fed to you like it is in movies and film and TV where they're controlling the flow of time, it doesn't feel as compelling.
Yeah. Other thing I had an issue with, which I might be the only person who feels this way from what I've seen on the internet, I didn't care for the ending and for the ending for Loki. Now, we have said so again, spoiler alert if you're not there. We have said before, I am a little tired of watching all my favorite characters just die off, get replaced, whatever. I don't have superhero fatigue and I don't have superhero movie fatigue, but I do have fatigue about that. I'm pretty tired of that. Like, maybe, I don't know.
Passing of torches or anything
like
that.
I'm just tired of it. So maybe that's colored my view of it. But I don't care for the ending. I don't care for what they did for Loki. I think it is a bad way to end his story. Like, I don't feel like it's this great, wonderful thing. I feel like it's just like, okay, putting a period in that, we're done. Like, and maybe, I think I am probably the only person who feels that way, but I feel like Loki deserved better because he went through such a character arc, you know, and he really did become a hero. And then they just, you know, stick him at the end of time and that's it. Like, it just felt like, okay, we're done with him now, you know?
Well, I mean,
I would rather he just stayed dead.
I have slightly differing views on
it. I know you do.
So I think we should describe it a little bit. Essentially, they find out all the work they've been doing to restore the timeline isn't going to work. So Loki himself reluctantly goes out.
To save Sylvie. The only way it'll work is if he kills Sylvie.
Yeah. And so in order to save Sylvie and not let all the timelines get destroyed and stuff, he walks out to all the timelines and he starts essentially wrangling themselves. And what I liked about it was...
He makes Yggdrasil.
That he makes Yggdrasil.
Oh, I said that wrong.
Yeah, his way of... of reconstructing what the sacred timeline looks like is to turn it into a big tree, which is awesome because, you know, he goes back to his heritage. And then, you know, he's obviously sitting on a throne at the center of it. And the whole thing was, when we first met Loki, all he wanted was all the power in the universe and to be the strongest one and to have everyone kneel to him. And by the end, he doesn't want to do that anymore. So he has to do it in order to save the universe. So he's not doing it for selfish reasons. It's essentially a similar story arc that Thor did in Thor 1. But it took Loki this much longer to get through to become an actual god of the universe and sit at the center of all the timelines. So I enjoy that from a thematic perspective.
I don't. I just think it's such a waste. I mean, think about it. He's just sitting in a chair for the rest of all eternity. Well, it's not realistic.
This is where I get into the problems with the multiverse. First of all, that's not our Loki. Our Loki was killed by Thanos.
Yeah.
And then second of all, you know, in these kinds of storylines, when it's like so abstract, he's sitting at the center of the universe with all the timelines converging on him.
It's too much for my brain.
And he's controlling it. There's nothing that makes me think that he needs to stay there or is going to stay there. Or if you had a reason, you're like, we want him in Thor 5, you know, you could just pull him out of that chair. There's right. nothing that makes me think that because, again, it's so abstract.
My biggest thing is, why bring him back from the dead just to do that? Like, that adds overall to the overall MCU, all the multiverses, whatever. What does that truly add to the story?
I would say that when he was killed by Thanos, he was redeemed in a position of weakness and he was killed for it. And then in this, he's redeemed in a position of strength.
But you're still the end game is still the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Fate is fate.
No, that's not. I didn't mean it to be deep. I meant it just to be like, I don't know. I think it was kind of a waste of time.
I know you're not deep, but I am. So
yes.
And we've got it on the podcast
now. I felt like
now.
This whole season was a waste of time. I almost wish they would have just ended it at season one.
Okay, so I will say, despite me having favorable views on the ending than you, I completely agree with your sentiment that this season didn't do anything from start to finish.
Yeah, it was a waste. You wasted Tom Hiddleston. You wasted, you know, everyone good who was in that. I mean, they could have tapped into, you know, those guys for other things, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, overall, I thought Loki, the first season, was an inventive way to do a Marvel show. And I appreciated with WandaVision, with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, with Loki, you know, their first kind of rollout of shows, that they went for such disparate styles. But as we kind of continue on, and I must admit, I've been rewatching Daredevil, so... As we continue on, I think myself, I would prefer strong storytelling with strong scripts.
Oh, we're going to do it like SNL style?
Yeah, with strong skits, 5 minutes at a time. No, with strong scripts over an abundance of style, an abundance of quirkiness, an abundance of change. Like, even WandaVision. I would rather watch Daredevil than WandaVision.
Wait, hold on to that thought because I want to say something. But real quick before I forget... I do want to say, I feel like you know, one of the main reasons I was excited about this season was I was excited about the Chicago World Fair. And I feel like they just teased us with that. And it like was not exciting or fun or inventive or anything.
They didn't incorporate the
World
Fair.
All they did was go to the World Fair and show electricity.
They didn't really incorporate H.H. Holmes. They didn't really incorporate any of that. It was just like.
I don't think they're going to do H.H. Holmes.
Well, I'm saying if you're going to do that, what's the organic reason for your characters to be there? And for them, it was just like, oh, we want a fun set piece.
Yeah.
And that was the difference between season one and season two, is in season one, you felt like you had to go on these adventures for a reason. And season two, it's like, well, we want to keep the formula that they go on an adventure.
Wait, you know what would have been really cool? They should have bumped into a janitor named Elias.
They could have done that.
Because you know what that is? So Walt Disney's dad, Elias Disney, was a janitor, right? At the Chicago World Fair.
Something like
that.
He
did something at the Chicago World Fair. I thought he was a janitor, but...
Go listen to our Disney episode.
I don't know that I said it.
I think we did mention this.
Okay, but anyways, he was at the Chicago World Fair, and that was part of the thing that inspired Walt Disney to build Disneyland. So, I mean, they're freaking owned by Disney now. That would have been cool.
Yeah, there's a whole...
There's a lot they could have done.
There's a whole litany of ways that you could have... Made the World Fair more interesting.
The only thing they did was show Cracker Jacks, and that's when Cracker Jacks was invented.
Yeah. Among other things, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on and on.
Whoop-de-doo. But anyways, back to what you're saying. So you were talking about the different Marvel shows. Which of the Disney Plus Marvel shows remains your favorite, or is your favorite?
I don't know. I think previously, did I say WandaVision previously?
I think you did.
I don't know.
I think WandaVision's mine still. Which is funny because it was the first one.
Yeah.
We went back and forth about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but we took down from it since the villains were pretty crappy.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe I'll stick with WandaVision, but here's what I'll say. I don't find myself with any of the Disney Plus shows going back for it. Like I just said, I was going back for Daredevil.
I would rewatch WandaVision, honestly. That's the only one.
Okay.
Like maybe before Agatha's show.
Yeah.
Speaking of Daredevil, they are doing Daredevil Reborn, Disney Plus show.
We are very excited for that.
And the news just came out that Kevin Feige fired the whole team and got the creatives from The Punisher, the Netflix show. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I wish that they just got the creatives from Daredevil because I thought Daredevil was the strongest show out of all of them. Punisher is not nearly as strong as the show
season one or two. Season two is not very good.
It's good, but like if Daredevil's like a 10 out of 10, Punisher's like a 7.
No, it's season one.
Yeah.
It's an 8 out of 10.
There's a lot of fluff in there.
Mm.
John Bernthal's a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 for sure. But
it's an 8. A 7 is a little weak.
7.5 tops.
Mm. Agree to disagree. That's my friend you're talking about.
It is our friend of the podcast. Go listen to our many times we talk about literally bumping into John Bernthal.
Yeah.
But
we need new stories. Again, new year, new stories.
When you watched Daredevil, you don't remember this, that you were addicted and you went straight through. When you got to Punisher, you paused.
Only in season two. I went all the way through season one right away.
Okay.
Season two, no. Now, I will say Daredevil is probably is the best Marvel thing, but one of the best television shows of all time.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I always come back to is like, it's the best Marvel show for sure, hands down, Daredevil. But in terms of just like TV shows that I love, such as Justified, which we're doing a podcast on soon, yay.
Ooh, spoiler.
You know, Daredevil, Breaking Bad, Lost, you know, you name all these shows.
I've never seen those other ones.
Yeah, but like you name all these shows, I would put Daredevil up with any of those shows.
Yeah, top 10. Yeah. Top 10 best shows. We just listened to a podcast with Vincent
D'Onofrio,
and he's looking pretty kingpin-y right now. Pretty excited.
Yeah, so
I wasn't going to watch Echo, but then they've been doing all this because I just didn't really care about Echo the character very much. But they're doing Daredevil's a lot of Kingpin, coming back in and they're Echo, doing a lot of Daredevil. So, Kingpin, so they got me.
We
got
to do
they
it.
Got me. Yeah. They got me. I just didn't feel like she was super compelling in, was she in Hawkeye?
Hawkeye, yeah.
But they got me.
They got, yeah. So
I'm a sucker.
Yeah, but hopefully that the firing of all the previous showrunners and such is indicative of an increase in quality for a show, not
literally,
a decrease.
Literally, all they have to do is make him exactly like he was. Exactly. I do want Bullseye back. I haven't heard anything about that yet.
Yeah, that would be great. You know what they should do? Make it seem like that they're not going to do that. And then at the very end of this recent season, have Bullseye show up.
Well, I was going to say something, but we'll save that for next week.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so...
I know what you're going to say.
I know.
Spoiler.
Anything else you want to say about Loki or the MCU shows in general, I guess?
Yeah, so for the MCU shows in general, I would say, you know, let's get to stronger scripts, okay? And stories that are worth telling. You don't need to tell a superhero story just to tell a superhero story. This is a guy who owns thousands and thousands of comic books, so...
Oh, wait, I do want to say, I saw that recently that I thought it was a good quote. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was basically, and James Gunn said that in that podcast too, people aren't experiencing superhero movie fatigue. They're experiencing bad superhero movie fatigue. And for me, it's more like repetitive superhero.
That's
like,
exactly.
If you could do, like, that's what I like about Marvel is that there's a lot of different stuff. It's not different anymore.
Right.
It's just like, quirky and funny and that's it.
Exactly. We don't need everything to be a comedy. We don't need everything to be super hyper powerful. We, you know, it's become watered down over time. So
and that like some more realness too.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I'm worried about with Daredevil is like Daredevil was great because of all the real stunts. And it was just, you know, ground level New York. If they started doing a bunch of green
choreography,
yeah.
Oh my
God. They start doing a bunch of green screen crap, they're going to ruin it.
Yeah. So hopefully that's what I'm pulling out for Marvel shows. That's my statement on that.
Yeah.
But for Loki, Love the character. Love Tom Hiddleston. Always welcome to come back. If you want to do a Loki season 3, I'll watch it.
What are they going
to
do? He's sitting on a chair. That'd I know, be the but most I, or if you want to put him in 4 ever.
Or 5, or if you want to reintroduce him in some other way, like, I'm all for it. But, yeah, so season 2 of Loki, watched it, didn't hate it, didn't love it, though, and that's kind of a crime there. When you love the character.
It was just there, like, Loki on his chair. In the middle of the timeline.
There you go.
All right. Well, we've been the nerds. Now you're in the herd about Loki season 2. We're looking forward to a good New Year's with y'all. And we're looking forward to it. 2024, here we come.
All right. So you already say we've been in
the nerd? Yeah, why don't you listen to me when I talk?
Okay. I'm a little under the weather.
That's true. I'll give it to you.
I have nothing funny to say.
Oh, wait. I have to
say.
Be nicer, too, in the New Year. Because my mom said all I like to do is argue with you on the podcast.
Oh, that's true.
The Geek in the Streets podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Find us.
Now.